Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They've been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome back author Judith Marshall. We're going to talk about her new book, of course. We're going to talk about writing tips. We're going to talk about inspiration and all that good stuff. Hi, Judith. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you for asking me.
First of all, I just want to let everybody know that my throat's a little out, so if I lose my voice, just temporarily, like, I'll be right back.
Okay.
But I'm okay. But I just wanted to give a warning because I actually lost my voice at the end of my show on Tuesday.
Oh, dear. Well, if you lose your voice, I'll just carry on without you.
Yes, that's basically it. That's what we got to do. We got to do what we got to do.
Right.
First, I'd like to ask you about how did you start writing? Did you write as a child, or is it something that came later in life?
Much later. I really never had any aspirations to write. In my younger years, in my 20s, I was actually a professional model, and I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. I was a house model for a cosmetic company there, and had a very exciting time doing that, and then moved to Northern California and got married, had two children, and when they got into school, I went to work in corporate America, and I basically stayed there for 25 years, and I was in human resources, which in those days originally was called personnel, if you remember that far back.
I do.
Yeah, and it started out not to be a career at all. I was just in it because we needed some extra money, and it turned out to be a lifelong career. And toward the end, I was working for a high-tech company, and I was the vice president of human resources with a staff of 30, and we were doing mergers and acquisitions and the most boring things you can imagine. And while I was doing that, I was thinking, you know, I would like to use the other side of my brain. I have a very creative idea. First of all, I grew up in the same small town in Northern California with a group of young girls who I had known most of my life. And we were a quirky bunch. And we went through everything in the world together, from being young girls to having high school friendships, dating the same boys, being married multiple times, having dramatic divorces, and everything in between, and even maddening menopause. And I always threatened them laughingly, someday I'm going to write a book. People would not believe what some of the things we have been through. So I'd always had this little pearl of an idea in the back of my head, but I was too busy working 60 or 70 hours a week to even think about it. And believe me, I really applaud people who can get up in the morning at 5 and write for an hour or two before they go to work. I don't have that kind of brain. I'm a one-purpose, focus type person. So anyway, I got married for the third time when my children were gone. I had a wonderful husband. And I said to him one day, you know, darling, I really don't want to do this job anymore. I added up how many people I've laid off over the last 25 years, and I'm not having any fun. And so how would you feel if I quit work? And we'd only been married a little over a year, and he was like, okay, I guess, if that's what you want to do. And I said, well, are you okay with being the sole provider? And he was great. And he said, look, you've talked about this book I've heard you talk about it for a long time. Do it. So I decided to quit my job in corporate America and write a fictional book. And I had no idea what I was doing, Sherry. I didn't even know what a protagonist was. I had no idea. But I just started writing. And some of the best advice I ever got was from a friend of mine from high school who actually is a very prolific writer. He writes legal thrillers. And I called him one day. His name is D.W. Buffa, B-U-F-F-A. And I said to him, Dudley, I'm going to write. And he said, oh, good. You've got a great imagination. That's a wonderful thing for you to do. Okay, now should I go take a creative writing class? Should I find a writer's group? What should I do? And he said, just sit down and write. And, I mean, that turned out to be the best idea I ever got because I was making it too complicated. You know, I was focusing on what I didn't know. So
well,
I did what he said.
Also, when people are beginning, they don't realize that when you join a writer's group, you've got to have something written because you don't have anything to share if you didn't write anything. So
right.
It sort of defeats the purpose. So you should
exactly.
always, you have to write first.
I agree with you. But I didn't know that. I didn't know anything. So I did just sit down and write, and I wrote a complete first draft. And I also recommend that to new writers. Don't do a lot of editing. Don't write the chapter, then read it, go back and change it, because you'll never finish the book. So I just wrote a complete first draft. And like Anne Labatt recommends, write lots of shitty first drafts. And believe me, I did. And that's great advice, because once you have a shitty first draft, you've got something to take to a writer's group or show to someone else who may be interested, and they can help you. Does it work? Does what stops you? What's confusing? Am I using the wrong tense? You know, all of the stuff you need to know. So anyway, that's what I did. I wrote a first draft, and then I joined the California Writers Club. I live in Northern California, and I joined a group that meets at a bookstore in Marin called Book Passages. And there I found four other women who were starting a critique group. And it was just perfect timing. So I was with them for 5 years until I got the book really honed down and finished. And then I had it professionally edited and started querying agents. And after this book, incidentally, is entitled Husbands May Come and Go, But Friends Are Forever. So it's creative nonfiction is, I would say, what the genre is, because a lot of it has to do with my own life, growing up in a small town and having the same friends for years and years. So anyway, it surprisingly won the Jack London Writing Award for the California Writers Group. And as a result, I thought, oh, good, I can get an agent and a publisher. How wonderful. Well, I was very naive, and I started querying. And after over 200 rejections, I decided to do it myself in 2009. Now, this is before self-publishing was really a big deal. So I was kind of a pioneer, and when I say that, I mean I had to learn a lot myself. There weren't a lot of people knowledgeable about how to publish yourself. So I did a lot of research and ended up getting the book published and on Amazon, and I hired a marketing firm to write a press release and distribute it. And much to my surprise, after the release had been out for maybe a week, I got an email from a Hollywood producer saying she would like to pre-order the book and it sounded like something she'd be interested in optioning. Well, I just about fell off my chair, and sure enough, she got the book, she read it, and she sent me an option agreement, which I signed. So she optioned the book and hired a screenwriter and turned it into a screenplay. So that was all very, very exciting for a first-time novelist, I will tell you. I was just ecstatic about it. Not that it, like she said, don't get really excited, because there's a lot of competition, and just because it's optioned doesn't mean it's going to sell.
It's a pretty big long shot. Just want to let people know that. That's not a given.
Absolutely.
When it's optioned.
And to get it optioned. In fact, people in my writers group were astonished. I mean, there are authors that have written many, many books and never been offered a screen option. So it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, it wasn't picked up by any of the major studios or Lifetime or any of the other production companies. But the very fact that it was optioned and I received money for the option and have a screenplay is very rewarding as a first-time author. So I want to encourage people to just remember, if it can happen to me, it can happen to anyone. If you write a good book, and you happen to be in the right place at the right time, anything's possible.
That's true. Just on a different subject, are you a big reader? Do you have people who inspire you that is a writer or a series of books or anything?
Actually, at the time I was in the beginnings of writing my novel, I read The Secret Life of Bees. And Rebecca Wells, the author, came to speak at Book Passages, and I met her. And I really loved her style of writing. And I told her that. And I said, you've really inspired me. And I told her about my own book. And I think all of us have favorite genres, favorite writers, people who we admire. So I would say, you know, I write women's fiction. I write what I like to read. I don't read fantasy. I don't read horror. I don't read legal thrillers, unfortunately, even though my best friend is a very successful author. I don't have a lot of time to read, but I will say one thing. If you're going to write, you must read. It's the only way you'll get better. Because I've found mistakes and errors in books that I've bought by famous authors. And I've also found ways of saying things that are much better than the way I may have written them. So reading is actually a constant way of learning.
It's funny because that's something I grew up. My father used to have a those yellow highlighters pens, and he's a prolific reader. I mean, he read more books than I'll ever read in my lifetime, and he would go through and highlight mistakes. He would never. He would say, "I would never embarrass a writer by saying this to them. I'm sure they know, but this is for myself, for my fun. I do it." And I grew up with that. So you can imagine what kind of an editor my dad was.
Well, and you find them even in your own work. I mean, I've had my book out for some time now, and if I were to read it right now, I tell you, I will find a typo in it. There's just, you know, especially your own work, when you've read it so many times, your eyes just kind of glaze over. And you say, oh, I know this chapter, I know this page, whatever. And invariably, you know, there's something there that you're going to miss.
For a new writer that I recommend is that they get people read their books. that they trust, of course. But, like,
right.
After you finish the first draft, give it to a couple of friends you really trust, family members, people that you know won't give it away or something. And they can catch things you can't, because, like you said, I mean, and it's worse on the computer than printed. Also print
yes.
out your thing, because you can see it better on the printed page than on the computer. You will really gloss. Your eyes sort of, like, go scooping by mistakes on the computer where it won't do it on a printed page. So that's another
absolutely.
Thing.
And that's a great point, because the other thing I found very helpful is read your work out loud yourself. And you will be surprised, especially with flow, punctuation. You know, does this really flow? Do you know who's talking? Do you have the right attribution there? Is the right person talking? Reading out loud helps. And then I'll share with you an idea that actually many people have used after I explained it. When I got to the point where I thought my book, it had been professionally edited, it had been copy edited, and it, I thought, was ready to go. So what I did is I had the luxury of finding four other women who were not family, not close friends, but who were either writers or avid readers. And I knew them well enough that I could ask them if they would be beta readers for me. Because
mm-hmm.
before I went to print, I said, if I give you a short list of 5 or 6 questions and I give you a free book, will you read it, answer the questions I've asked you? And then I invited them to lunch at my house, because they all lived luckily close enough to come for lunch. And I said, at lunch, we don't have to go over your answers. I won't embarrass you by revealing your answers to my questions. We'll just have a nice lunch, and I'll thank you that way for reading the book. And that was invaluable. After they left, I couldn't wait to look at their comments. And I asked simple questions like, did anything stop you in the book? Is there anything that didn't make sense to you? You know, basic questions that they were able to answer easily. And after I got that back and realized there were no major changes that I needed to make, I went ahead and published. So I think it was my final kind of blessing, if you will, that it was ready to go.
That's interesting. It's interesting. It takes a while. And even after you're published, it's hard. You can't call it back. Even after you're published, you can still find boo-boos.
Oh,
yeah.
You
can do it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you can call it back.
Well, it depends on how it was published.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on how you do it. I went through, at that time, CreateSpace. And I bought a package from them, which they no longer sell. And as a part of that package, if you found errors, you could correct, I think it was up to 10 errors for free and have it resubmitted to correct those. Now, they don't do that anymore because they want you to just upload your manuscript yourself. But that was helpful because I did find errors and I did get it a second printing. So that was helpful. And because they're print on demand, that's also helpful for authors because you don't have to buy 100 books and store them in your garage. You know, when somebody orders the book, they print it and they mail it to them. So it's a much more efficient way of distribution.
We're getting to sort of the end of the show, so I want to give you time to talk about your new book that you're working on.
Yeah, my new book is called, it'll be out after the first of the year. It's in final pre-production right now, and it's called Staying Afloat, and it's a romance. And the reason it's a romance is so many of my readers of Husbands May Come and Go, But Friends Are Forever love the book, but were disappointed that it had no sex. So I said, oh, okay, you want sex? I'll give you sex. So I wrote a story about a woman, Crystal Scott, who's in her 40s, and lives in Santa Rosa, California, and her husband loses his job and shows no signs of looking for another one. And so she decides to chip in by going back to work. She had worked earlier before she had children. And she goes back to work, and her boss is a charismatic billionaire entrepreneur who takes a special interest in her. And before long, they are having an affair. So the actual story is about how women, too, in marriages can commit adultery and what damage it does to the family. So it's more than just a story about a bored woman's dalliance with her boss. It offers really an in-depth look at the boundlessness of human desire and what the repercussions are. So it's quite different, has a lot of good, juicy, explicit sex scenes in it, and will be different than the last book I wrote.
Isn't it funny? It's like you write this book and they're like, where's the sex? I'm like, oh my God.
That's right. And I think after, I think around that time was where the woman wrote the books, oh, you know the books that were so poorly written and yet made a fortune for the author.
The one that made a movie.
You know.
That
made a
sequel series
of movies.
Yeah,
I can't
tell
how that shows you. I can't think of the name of it, but you know what I mean. And about that time, all of the sex came out, so it was like, well, couldn't you have just one little section in there where one of the girls had her first sexual experience or so? I said, it's not about that. My first book was about endearing female friendship. It's the kind of book that you would buy for your newly divorced girlfriend. It's funny. It'll make you laugh. It makes you cry. One of the girls is killed in a mysterious accident, and all the rest of them rally around to solve the murder. So, you know, there wasn't a place for sex in it. So this one makes up for it.
There's a good movie that did come out. It's with Candace Bergen, Jane Fonda, Diane Keaton, and Mary Steenburgen called The Book Club, where they're reading that book.
Oh,
discussing.
Yeah. I saw that. And, you know,
that's really interesting movie.
You say that, because that my producer, the reason that she optioned the book is all the women in the first book are in their late 50s. And she said to me, it's about time we had a real story about real mature women. You know, it's not chick lit. I called it hen lit. And the same is true of staying afloat. You know, Crystal's 43 years old. She thinks her life's settled. She has a husband and two wonderful kids. She thinks nothing is going to change. Her family loves her. Everything's going just well. And then all of a sudden, a billionaire takes an interest in her and actually falls in love with her and wants her to leave her husband and family and marry him. So it just shows you, you know, when you think you know where the plot's going, it can take a complete 180 turn.
Well, that's life, too.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Who did I hear recently say, if you plot your life, then you're not really living it?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I know. It was Betty Davis.
That's a good point.
It was an old interview with Betty Davis and Johnny Carson, and that's who said that.
I'll be back. Well, it's true. I mean, just when you think you know what's going to happen, something else does. So better to just go with the flow.
Yep. But,
and I think the same is true. I think the same is true, Sherry. A lot of people plot to write. And I found when I started writing, my characters take the story where they want it to go. I don't know if that's unusual or me, or there were a couple of places in the book where I wanted one character to do one thing and she just flat refused and went
totally
another way. Yeah.
That's normal.
So
that's I've talked to thousands of writers, and that's normal. That shows you're following your muse. Instead of, if you are directing the book and your characters are just plowing down, then you're not really doing it. If your characters are arguing with you and giving you trouble, then you've got something.
Right. And that was the one thing that my producer said to me. She said, I love your characters. They're so real. They're like real women would be. I mean, you're not reaching to come up with their traits. They're normal, everyday 59-year-old women. So that was a real compliment. And I just have to say, she sent the book to Meryl Streep to read as a potential project. And when she told me that, I did fall off my chair. And she said she got a lovely handwritten letter from Meryl saying, thank you very much for sending the book. I will do my best to read it, and I appreciate you thinking of me. And I said, oh, please, can I have a copy of the letter she sent? And she said, sure. She copied it and sent it, and it's handwritten and signed by Meryl. And it's framed sitting right next to my desk.
Aw, that's lovely.
Yeah, that was a wonderful kind of unexpected treasure.
That's really cool. We're coming to the end. Do you have a website?
Yes, my website is www.judithmarshall.net. Very simple.
And do you have any events coming up or anything you want people to know, like book signings or conventions or anything?
No, but when my book, I'll be getting the proofs back in the next probably 4 weeks. I'm not going to make the Christmas deadline that I wanted, but it'll be out, I think, in January. And so I'll be posting on all my social media sites when the books will become available. But I don't have any pre-production events coming out. I may very well send a press release again because of the success I had from the last one, but nothing that would involve the public. And one thing I wanted to just lastly mention, Sherry, I did a lot to define my public and private audience for my first book. You know, who would be the logical person to buy it and read it? And it is women's fiction, so first of all, it's women, but it's not all women. It would be women of a certain age, probably boomers, maybe some millennials. And what I did was I went around to hair salons, nail salons, boutiques, took my books with me, gave a copy to each owner to read, knowing that they would all love it. They did. And then I asked to sell the books in those places on consignment. And I sold more books that way than I ever would have if it had been on a bookshelf in a store with 500 other books. So I think you have to know where your audience shops. Do they buy everything on Amazon, or do they go to Barnes & Noble? Where do they go to buy their books? And even though Amazon is still number one over everybody, you know, it's better in a hair salon while somebody's waiting to get their hair done and they see a book sitting on the table, they pick it up and leaf through it, and guess what? Oh, I really like this story. I'll think I'll buy it. And the beauty of that is the owner of the shop pays the sales tax. So that was a little perk.
That's a great idea. We don't have a lot of time. Do you have any social media, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you can give out?
I'm on Facebook. Just Judith Marshall, just, you know, any of the sites, if you just put in my name, it'll come up. I have a page for both books on Facebook. I have a page for Husbands and a page for Staying Afloat. And I also, I don't do a lot of tweeting, but on my Facebook page for Staying Afloat, I've put little segments from the book little teasers of what's happening in Crystal's life with her new boss, just to get people kind of familiar with what the story is. So as I say, I'm not really doing a lot of book promotion yet because it's too early. It would be too early to ask people to pre-order or do anything like that. Have to wait till I get my proof copies back and review them all and make sure they look right.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for asking me.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Bye.